It just seems like it almost seems like we've lost some time or something. I don't know. I just I was thinking about what to speak on this morning, and something that's bothered me over the last my whole career basically is, you know, some of the people you work with, and I've realized there's a lot of people I work with that are not saved, and I guess my expectations shouldn't be too high. Of the unsaved, but I've worked with a lot of people through the years that have at least claimed to be saved, and I've talked to them, and I know that they know the gospel. I know that they celebrate Christmas, and basically they talk a little bit about Jesus, and so, you know, I can't judge them about what they believe and that sort of thing, but lately I've worked with a person out there at the plant that their language is just horrible, and I mean it's bad, you know. And I don't know how many of you work with somebody that just use filthy language all the time, and you know it just bothers me, you know. And you talk to these people, and I talk to this guy, and he claims to know the Lord. He claims to be a Christian. And he can't say two words without one of them being a swear word, you know? And it's just, I don't get it. And he's not the only one. I mean, I've run across a lot of people that I've dealt with through the years that have been that way. And I don't understand it. I don't understand how anybody who knows anything about God's word at all could use that kind of language and act that way. And I know everybody slips once in a while, and I understand that. And I'm not condemning people. I'm just saying that, you know, as Christians, I think we're held to a little higher standard, you know, and I wonder why do people do that? And you know, I think of language, and I think of it's not just profanity. It's not just bad words. You know, I think of how some people use blasphemy. You know, how they use God's name in vain, and these are Christians. Supposed Christians. And how can anybody use God's name in vain when you think of what he did for us? And so I think also in language, you know, we have to think of other things that slip out, lies. Sometimes we gossip about people, and sometimes we boast about how great we are, or we're sarcastic with people. And there's some people just kind of, they're just got this negative vibe all the time. You know, whenever you're talking to them, and it's always, you know, gloom and doom. It's kind of like Eeyore, you know, on Winnie the Pooh, you know, oh, bother. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, they're just depressing to be around, you know. And some people are abusive. They're just nasty with their mouth. You know, they just, when you talk to them, they just can't say anything good. And some people, another person I work with is who I'd call manipulative, you know. Somebody who likes to try to play mind games, you know. They say things, and that isn't really what they meant. They say things just to get your reaction and play games with you, you know. And so, we always have to be watchful of people like that. But I think of, you know, what motivates Christians to use bad language? Why would anybody do that? And near as I can tell, I mean, sometimes I think it's, you know, some people like to be comedians. Some people like to be the life of the party. They like to be, you know, friends with everyone, and everybody laughing at them and laughing with them and laughing because of them. They're kind of like comedian. They like to be a comedian. I think a lot of it's just because they just have low self-esteem. You know, they just want to make a name for themselves. They just want to have people recognize them. I think some of them are probably, it's a habit. It's a habit from before they even got saved. They've used this kind of language when they were growing up, and they just haven't bothered to shut it off. Some of it's peer pressure. They want to fit in or be the tough guy. You know, you ever been around a group of guys? And I don't know if it's the same with women. I'll say what it is with guys anyway. With guys, a lot of times, you know, guys will stand around and start talking and stuff, and before you know it, one guy uses a four-letter word, and then, you know, the next guy uses two or three, and then, next guy uses 10 or 11, you know, so it just kind of explodes. They all want to fit in. I've also come to the conclusion that a lot of people use bad language because they just plain don't know any other decent words. Their vocabulary is so short and so limited that that's the only words that they can come up with. And they don't even have to make sense. They don't even have to go together or whatever. You know, some people just use this language just to make a statement, I guess. I call that selective self-control. When they use that kind of language around their friends, but then when they come around you, all of a sudden they stop using that language. That's when you kind of suspect that, you know what? They can turn this on and off. You know, it's pretty interesting to me to see how some people seem like they have no control over it at all. But yet, you know, if a pastor or a priest or somebody would come into their presence, all of a sudden they could shut that off completely. We interviewed a guy one time and we talked to him and you know, spent several hours with him interviewing him. Never used one bad word the whole time. After he was hired, he's my boss now. I mean, he's the guy I talk to every day, and believe me, he used a lot of language that he shouldn't, you know? And as a Christian, does it matter? Does it matter if we use bad language? You know, I think it does. Will it kick us out of hell? Out of heaven? No. Will it cause us to go to hell? No. You know, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're saved. But if people use bad language, if people are constantly using even, you know, especially God's name in vain and stuff, I really have to question, do they really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Have they really accepted Jesus as their Savior? You know? And that's between them and God. But I don't want to condemn anybody. I don't want to judge anybody. That's not my job. You know, Jesus knows whose are his. But as Christians, I think of what's our responsibility as a Christian? What are we supposed to be doing? You know, people are watching us. Everybody we work with watches us. And believe it or not, you know, I honestly believe that especially as Christians, people watch us even closer. I think that they're just looking for us to slip up. That's just one more reason why, now, I don't think I want to be a Christian because, you know, look at him. I mean, look at the way, you know, how he conducts himself. Listen to the language he uses. Why would I want to be a Christian? They're no different than anybody else. You know? Think of your children and your grandchildren out several generations. You know, when you get together at family gatherings and stuff, do you use bad language around them? You know, do they ever hear you use God's name in vain? Or, you know, because if they do, wow, what kind of a stumbling block have we become? You know? People we don't even know may see us, may watch us, and see what's going on. How do we conduct ourselves? And I think when we use bad language, it's not using just, you know, the four-letter words and all that sort of stuff. It's, you know, it's all these other things that we, you know, talking about the lying and gossiping and sarcasm and all that stuff. I really feel that it becomes like we're unfaithful to God, you know? Kind of like we become like harlots or adulterers. We have turned our back on God. We have become one with the world. What a mistake that is, you know? If people don't notice anything different between us and the world, then, you know, like God's word says, you know, we're supposed to be the salt of the world. If we become unsalty, if we become just like everybody else, if there's no flavor in us or no light in us, what do people see? They sure aren't going to go for Christianity if we claim to be Christians and that's the way we act. So, do we hang out with people who use profanity and swearing? You know, who's our friends? I've noticed that when I hang out with certain people that use a lot of bad language, guess what goes into your brain, right? Your brain starts thinking those words, doesn't it? You know? And you realize that that's not what you need being put into your brain. I think of, you know, does our walk match our talk? Or better yet, I guess, does our talk match our talk? Does our vocabulary match our profession of faith, you know? I think sometimes we become numb or complacent. I think sometimes we think that, you know what, I'm saved, I'm forgiven no matter what, I've got a home in heaven forever, I'll just keep on going, doing what I'm doing, you know? Have we become complacent? You know, we just become accepting and tolerant of bad language and stuff. And I think sometimes if we are too complacent, if we're too laid back about it, I believe we almost become complicit. We also condone it. Think of I don't know how many of you know, rent movies or stuff or go to movies or whatever. Think of some of the language that's used in movies or even on your TV at home. Do we keep watching those shows that use that kind of language? Is that what we're supposed to do? Is that being complicit? Is that actually condoning it? Because I believe, and I'm pretty sure about this, that the TV stations or whatever, the networks, know how much volume of people are watching their shows, right? And so if you're one of those ones that's basically voting for that show, you're part of it, right? You become complicit. You become part of it because you're condoning it. You're saying, hey, that language doesn't bother me enough to turn the channel, right? It's hard, isn't it? You know, I've watched a lot of really good shows, and they don't use bad language at the very beginning. So you get hooked into the show, and you get hooked into the whole scheme of the action and everything, you know. And all of a sudden, halfway through the show, they start using foul language. They start using God's name in vain, or four-letter words. What do you do then? You know, the right thing to do is, in my mind anyway, I'm not judging anybody else, I'm saying turn the channel. Because if you keep watching, if you keep listening to it and condoning it, you know, you're part of it. One time I was bored and I was over in the UK and I went to a movie theater, you know, and went to the movie and I can't think of who it was, a famous American Western I can't think of the guy's name is now, but anyway, I started watching it, and it was foul language right from the beginning to the end. You know, I didn't stay for the whole thing. I did get up and walk out, but you know, I just gave them whatever it was, £9 or you know however many dollars it was. I just donated that towards that cause, right? So I became part of it. All right, so I thought of some verses that we can apply to our lives, and you know. One thing that it doesn't really matter what I think or what you think. It's all a matter of what God thinks, right? I mean, it's really, we have to look at what God says. And I wonder about, you know, people who use that kind of language. Do they read their Bible? And so if you know somebody that uses that kind of language, encourage them to read their Bible. Because that's, in God's Word, you know, it's, I mean, I looked up some verses, and I'll bet I found 20 or 30 verses at least, just in New Testament, that talked about language. It's critical. It's very, very important for us. As Christians, to know what God's word says. So anyway, I'd like us to look at Matthew chapter 12 and verses 34 through 37. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart." That's a good verse, isn't it? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So if your mouth is shooting out, you know, bad words, guess what that means? That means that's probably what's in your heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. And the word treasure to me means more of a like a collection, more of a gathering of stuff. I sure wouldn't call the evil person what he has any kind of treasure because we know it's of no good, it's of no value. Verse 36, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Matthew chapter 15, verse 11 says, and this was an Old Testament law, talking about the Old Testament law about washing hands before eating. And verse 11 says, "It is not what enters the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man." Let's also look in 15 there, Matthew 15. Let's look at verse 17 also. Matthew 15, starting with verse 17, says, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and then is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Very important what comes out of our mouth, what we speak. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless." Ephesians 4, 29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." You think of unwholesome words, and to me, and I looked this up too, it's unhealthy to the mind or the body. That's what an unwholesome word is. And what is edification? It's instruction. It's encouragement. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. There's a goal as a Christian, right? As Christians, our goal should not be to give unwholesome words or things that are harmful to people. It's to give good things to people, to be encouraging to people, to help people, right? James 3, 1 through 12 says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren," or in my mind, teachers are like role models. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such, we will incur stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. You know, I was thinking about that as we used to have horses when I was growing up. We had three horses, and we, you know, had saddles and bits and all that sort of thing, all the bridles and, you know, halters and all that sort of stuff that goes along with having horses. And we go out and ride them, and they were kind of my sister's favorite things, but we didn't really care for them too much because, you know, horses are pretty stubborn and can be pretty nasty sometimes. But, you know, I remember seeing the bridle. And this bridle is this device, I'm sure most of you know all about them, but they've got this bar that goes across these two other metal bars that are attached to straps that go around the horse's head and stuff, you know. And so when you jerk on the reins, this bar turns, and the bridle twists. And I talked to my dad about that, and this bar is not a straight bar. This bar actually has a curve in it, at least the ones that we had. And I asked him about that. What does that do? And he says, "Well, that pinches the tongue." That's a pretty good example, isn't it, you know? Sometimes we need to be bridled, right? Sometimes we need to just zip it, you know? Because if what's coming out of our mouth is the wrong thing, better just not say anything at all. And so I think of that bridle, and I think of how critical that is. You know, a horse, you know, when we were just kids, you know, a horse outweighs us by a lot. But yet you can guide this horse around with this bridle. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. I love that. I like to think of these big ships. You know, when you're along the coast or, you know, anywhere around the ocean or great big lakes, you see these huge boats, these huge ships that, you know, cargo ships and stuff. They handle all these, you know, tonnage of materials and stuff. And you think in the back is just this little rudder that controls it, you know. It's pretty awesome to realize that such a massive thing can be controlled by such a small thing. See how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire. You think of these fires that happen out in California all the time. Every year, you think of in the summertime, you think of these fires, and they destroy thousands of acres. And what are they usually started by? A lot of times they're started by somebody, you know, flicking a cigarette out the window of the car, you know. you think of a cigarette, how it's such a small, just a glow. It's not really like a flame. It's just a glow. And yet, it will ignite thousands of acres of land, you know. A small fire can be pretty destructive. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity or sin. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. You think of how we've done as humans, how we've tamed these huge animals. You think of elephants, and you go to the zoo or the circus, you know, and you see these animals controlled by man, you know, these tigers and all these other, you know, really ferocious animals, you know, and yet mankind has been able to tame them. It's pretty impressive. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Isn't that the truth? It shouldn't be that way. Our life should be different than that. You know, we have such an example, an opportunity to be a positive light for this world. Help us not to blow that, you know. Help us not to be a bad example to people. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. It's interesting, isn't it? What proceeds out of us can really make an impact on somebody else. My biggest pet peeve, I guess, the thing that bugs me more than anything is blasphemy, is using God's name in vain. I can get by, you know, I don't like it. I don't like listening to the four-letter words and that sort of thing, but I've heard them my whole life, and it doesn't bother me near as much as blasphemy. You know, blasphemy is a whole nother level, right? I remember when I was a kid, fifth grade, at Lewis Central High School, Lewis Central Middle School or whatever it is, over in Council Bluffs, I was out on the playground, and I was playing tetherball. Anybody remember what tetherball is? You know, it's a ball on a rope and around a pole, right? And one kid slugs it going one direction, and the other kid slugs it to go the other direction. Well, I remember one time I slugged it, and I used God's name in vain. Not a good thing to do, you know? And that convicted me so bad. You know, I was raised in a Baptist church. I was raised by Christian parents. I knew better than that. And I don't know why I did, but it came out. And I don't think I've ever used God's name in vain since, because it convicted me so bad. I realized that is not what Christians are supposed to say, you know? So we have to be awful careful what we say. I was thinking back in Leviticus 24, verse 15 says, "You shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone curses his God, then he will bear his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him." Wow. Imagine that. Being stoned for using God's name in vain. The alien as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. That's a pretty severe punishment. You know, that shows you what God thinks of using his name in vain. It's not something to be taken lightly. There's also, you know, people use crude and vulgar language. Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4 says, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." You know, there's a big difference there in there. You know, sometimes you hear it all the time. You hear people talking just stupid stuff, right? There must be no filthiness, no telling dirty jokes and all that sort of stuff. No silly talk. No, don't even say crude stuff. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people, and I'll speak about the guys. You know, guys will say crude stuff about girls. You know, that's, you see it all the time. You hear it all the time. We should have no part of that. We should walk away, you know. We should have no part of that. No filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting. You know, I don't watch comedians. I learned a long time ago that if you watch a comedian, it doesn't take very long at all before they start using pretty coarse language, pretty crude stuff to get a laugh, right? That's what I think of this coarse jesting, you know. Anything to get a laugh, and they're willing to say anything even totally against God's word. But it says, but rather giving of thanks. We have such a thing to be thankful for, don't we? We have a Savior, we have a salvation that is worth far more than silver or gold or gazillions of dollars, right? We have an eternity in heaven to look forward to. Why in the world would we waste our breath on something that would dishonor God after all he's done for us? For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. And I believe that when we use God's name in vain or we use foul language or anything like that, there's a price to be paid for that. I think that, you know, if we want blessings from God, we've got to be awful careful with what we say and what we do. God does punish his sons, the people who follow him. He corrects them. And sometimes he has to do quite a bit to get our attention, you know. And so if you're really feeling God's correction, correcting you and his chastising you, then we have to look at our lives and say, okay, what am I doing wrong? What are people seeing in my life that's not right, that's not giving honor and glory to God? And I hope it's not our language. We know that, like I said before, you know, this, you know, if we slip up and we say stuff, it's, you know, when we confess it, it's forgiven. You know, it's not going to keep us out of heaven. But if we use that kind of language and we use God's name in vain over and over and we make a practice of it, then you have to really look at your life and say, am I really saved? Do I really know Jesus as my Savior? Boasting. James 4:11-17 says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges a brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, tomorrow or today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. I love that. You know, there are people who go through life and they start bragging and say, I'm going to do this or that, and I'm going to make a bunch of money. I'm going to get rich. You know, I think of the people, you know, back in the gold rush days, you know, and they were heading out to the mountains and stuff, and they had this goal in mind. I'm going to get rich. And we can't brag about today or tomorrow, can we? We can't say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Look at me, I'm going to make a bunch of money. You know, it's all me, you know. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Everything that we do, we should say, Lord willing, you know. It's he that determines what we're going to do today. He can stop us at any moment. If we're heading out somewhere, he can have some event happen in our life that we have no control over, and he can stop us cold, right? There's things that happen in our life for a reason. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Abusive speech. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's a good verse. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, have we put to death the old man, our old self, that used that kind of language? When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. Yeah, I understand. You know, when we weren't saved, you know, I can understand where people do those sort of things. But once you get saved, there should be a new life, right? We should have a whole new outlook on life, a whole new personality, you know? There should be a happiness in us, a encouragement in us, a thankfulness in us that should change our entire way that we talk and walk and communicate with people, interact with people. Should make a huge difference. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self, who has been renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We're supposed to be like the Lord Jesus. He's our role model. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. He should be in us. We should be a reflection of him to others. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's what should be coming out of our mouths, shouldn't it? Right? It should be these spiritual songs, just singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. What a life we have an opportunity to live, and what an example we have to be to others. You heard Matthew 5:21-22. You have heard that the ancients were told, "You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into fiery hell." You know, we have to be careful with what we say and how we talk about other people, don't we? You know, how do we address other people? How do we... You know, even in joking, even in just with our friends and stuff, how do we treat each other? We're not supposed to say bad things about them. We're not supposed to say, "You fool," and "You good for nothing." John 8:43-47, it talks about lying. It says, "Why do you not understand what I'm saying?" And this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. "It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." You know, that's interesting, isn't it? You know, we know why we are tempted to say the things we do. It's because Satan's right there. You know, he's the father of lies. He's trying to get us to mess up. He's trying to trip us up. And it do us very good to always remember that he's trying to trip you up, because you always have to be on the alert. You know, it's just like if somebody was stalking you, somebody was following you, and you were walking, you know, and you could hear somebody behind you, you know, walking behind you, you'd be on the alert, wouldn't you? You'd be ready to do something. That's what we should be with Satan. We always should know that he's right behind us. He's, you know, we can hear him, you know, walking behind us, trying to get us to mess up, trying to get us to, you know, to be nasty or to say bad words or to, you know, do bad things to our brothers and sisters, to this world. We have to be awful careful of him. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. And for this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. You know, the Pharisees were basically supposedly, you know, a godly people. You know, they were people who followed God, or who at least followed the Old Testament, and they tried to be religious. And I guess that's what I would kind of think of them as more than anything. They were just religious people. They were just philosophers. They didn't really have a relationship with God. They didn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's what God wants from us. He wants a relationship. He wants it to be genuine. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life. This is Revelation 22, verse 14 to 15. And may enter by the gates into the city. Outsiders are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 19 says, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. You know, what's gangrene? From what I understand, it's a really, really bad infection, right? It's like a poisoning of the blood. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. What did he say to do? Avoid worldly and empty chatter. You know, if you don't have something good to say, you probably better not say it. You know, that's kind of a good rule of thumb. There are some people who just chatter on and on and on, and they really don't have anything good to say. Some people are manipulative. Jude 1, verse 15 and 16 says, I better read a little bit more of that. Jude 1, 15, I think I'm going to read 12 through 16. These are the men who are hidden reefs, and these men are basically the false Christians. These are the phonies. These are the fake Christians. McDonald says these are the apostates. These are the people like Judas. Remember how Judas was? Remember how he betrayed the Lord Jesus with a kiss, right? I mean, you know, up to the end there, you know, Judas was making himself look like he was a follower of Jesus, and he was a disciple, and he was a believer in Jesus. Yet he betrayed the Lord Jesus. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Help us not to say harsh things about our Savior, about our God. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Anybody ever run into somebody like that that's flattering you? Watch out, right? There's people like that. I mean, I've worked with them. I know. You know, there's people who you know, butter you up, and they say, oh, you know, you're the greatest. Yeah, watch out, you know. So we always have to be on the lookout for those sort of people. Anyway, so what should our language be like, and what should we have? We should have grace. Colossians 4, 1 through 6 says, and I'm just going to read just 4 here. So that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each. Titus 2:7-8 says, in all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. 1 Peter 3:8-12 says this, To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. The one who desires life to love and to see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, we just thank you so much for your many blessings. We thank you for your word. Help us to read your word and to realize that we have such a responsibility and such a privilege to be a light to this world. Help us to do so in a way that would be pleasing to you, that would help other people, and that would encourage people to live for you. We know we stumble, and we know each one of us fail in many ways, and we bring that before you, and we apologize for that, we confess that before you, and we desire to serve you, and we know that the blood of the Lord Jesus has cleansed us. And so, as followers of you, help us to be true to you, and help us to just live lives that would be pleasing to you, and to just encourage other people, and that we might in some way encourage someone else to either get saved or to continue in their life to live for you and to honor you with their life, that we may affect even further generations to live for you. We give you thanks now for this time together, and we thank you for these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.